It's true to know that the Word of God is absolutely lovely. I'm going to read this evening through verse 19 from Matthew 11. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. So the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What would ye others in the wilderness to see? Reed shaken with the wind? But what would ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, and shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And whereunto shall I liken this generation? As like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have prayed unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. But John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Wisdom is justified of her children. That's as much of the Word of God as we read this evening. Sermon text is in verses 11 and 12, especially verse 12. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, that violence take it by force. If you had or have the opportunity to go abroad, Australia maybe, then you'll find that the United States, all over the world, has a reputation of being a very violent society. And of course, we ourselves teach for the violence that makes it impossible to be on the streets of one of the big cities at night. The violence that sometimes affects our own lives and families. We even see that violence as a sign of the times. And yet, here in Matthew 11, verses 11 and 12, the kingdom of heaven is described as a violent kingdom. That's what those words in verse 12 really mean. Kingdom of heaven, suffering, violence. It's in its nature a violent kingdom. And in fact, the text goes on to say that the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, you and I, are violent people, violent men, violent women, violent children. And in fact, tells us that it's only as violent people that we have a place in the kingdom. That's the last part of verse 12. The violent, you and me, take it, kingdom, by force. Now before we look at that word of God and try to understand it, there's one thing that has to be clarified, and that's that word of suffering. In verse 12, that doesn't mean, or doesn't refer to the fact, that the kingdom of heaven has enemies who are always attacking the kingdom and who cause all kinds of trouble and suffering in the kingdom. That's not what the passage means. But that word suffering has an older meaning. It means here, in our English version, that the kingdom of heaven allows violence, permits violence, even encourages violence. And does that, of course, in such a way that we become the violent of whom the text speaks, and by violence take the kingdom. So the theme this evening is the kingdom of heaven taken by violence. We're going to talk first about the kingdom itself and what the passage says about it, focusing especially on those words, the kingdom of heaven suffers from violence. And we're going to take a look at what the Word of God is saying when it describes us as the violent. And finally, we're going to focus on what exactly that violence is, which, to put it in the words of the text, snatches the kingdom, grabs the kingdom, and has the kingdom as its own. That explanation, of course, of the word suffered doesn't make the passage any easier, but that's one of the reasons why we're looking at it this evening. So first of all, the kingdom. I think you know that the reference here is to that spiritual kingdom, making it any less real. Don't let anybody ever let you think that because the kingdom is spiritual, it's not as real as any earthly kingdom. It's not only as real, it's more real than any earthly kingdom. The fact that it's spiritual doesn't change that. But it's that spiritual kingdom of which God is the blessed and only potentate, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, and who exercises his sovereign rule through our Lord Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. It's that kingdom to which the elect belong
as citizens. And to quote Isaiah, its walls are salvation and its gates are praise. That's the kingdom that we're talking about this evening. Only the Word of God calls it the kingdom of heaven. And that's especially important here. Because just as the kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, so this violence is heavenly. It starts in heaven. Let's start here. It starts in heaven. And its goal is heavenly. Really, that violence begins with God. Spiritual and heavenly violence that has its source in God Himself. Remember what the Israelites sang when they saw the hand of God in the destruction of the Egyptians? They said, "The Lord is a man of war." And they were talking about some of the same violence that has its origin in God Himself. Violence that the passage here is talking about. Spiritual violence. That's the kingdom. And the kingdom is quite a statement. The kingdom allows that kind of violence, even encourages and requires that kind of violence, and can be described in connection with what verse 12 says, as a violent kingdom. Now, of course, that's true, first of all, in relation to the ungodly. The kingdom, in relation to the kingdoms of this world, to all of the civilization, that's part of our lives. Great cities and accomplishments of man. The kingdom of heaven is full of violence and doesn't tolerate those other kingdoms, but will destroy them so utterly in the end that there will not be a trace left of the kingdoms of this world. So it's a violent kingdom in relation to the kingdoms of this world. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is a violent kingdom, allows, encourages, even requires violence in relation to its own citizens. Its violent kingdom, first of all, and that is true with us, in its establishment. It's a kingdom that, in the most literal sense of the word, is built on blood. And you know what I'm referring to. I'm referring, of course, to the fact that the foundation of that kingdom is the death and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of kingdom it is. It took His violent death, set up that kingdom. Without that death, there would have been no kingdom of heaven. But it's a kingdom, too, that's violent When God establishes that kingdom as He does in our hearts, it, in the most literal sense of the word, turns our lives upside down. Or to put it another way, that kingdom, when it's established with us, the first does first of all this, that it rips our hearts out. And then, of course, you know what kind of violence that is in surgical theater. It puts a whole heart in place of that heart that was torn out of us. Puts a new mind in us. Imagine that. That's not even a possible metaphor. But the kingdom of heaven does that. It gives us, and that's a violent activity of the kingdom, it gives us the mind of Christ Himself. That's what the Word of God is talking about here, when it says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It requires, when it comes for you and for me, it requires everything and leaves us nothing. And when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, then it preaches violence. It says to you, you've been watching the wrong things on the internet or on television. It says if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Throw it away. If your hand offends you, but not on a date, your hand was in the wrong place, then cut it off. And throw it away. That's the kind of thing that the Word of God is talking about here when it says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Only when you think of that, of course, that the word suffereth is rather mild. It's just a lot of violence. It is. In a spiritual sense of the word, the most violent kingdoms destroys the presence and power of sin in us, requires us to murder ourselves spiritually, but to death, the kingdom says, your old sinful nature. So on. The result of that is, of course, the peril is in our society. Violence begets violence. The result is that we become spiritually violent people. It probably needs to be said, too, that word spiritual is very important here. This is a license to any kind of physical violence. It's not a license to go out and burn abortion funds. It's not a license, if you need to be told that, to go out and shoot liberal politicians. It's not that. In fact, that kind of violence is forbidden to citizens of the kingdom. When Peter pulled out his sword, Jesus said, put
it away.
Peter,
those who take the sword perish by the sword. That is not the kind of kingdom I represent. It's not a license
to disobedience, civil disobedience, and rebellion against those who are in authority. Does it give you the right to do what seems to be the main business of politicians these days? To engage in character assassination. To destroy someone's name and reputation by what you say. There's no license to do that here in the Word of God. And it isn't the license either. Perhaps that's more important. It isn't the license either. When you're defending the gospel, speaking of Christ, to be rude, obnoxious in your presentation of the gospel, to try and take the Word of God and ram it down somebody's throat, to be argumentative and disagreeable in your defense of the gospel. I think we need to be reminded of that. There's no license for that kind of thing here in the Word of God. People of God should be, as Jesus said, in that respect, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We become violent people in this sense. That through the gospel is an important part of Jesus' words in this passage. That through the gospel, we catch a glimpse of the kingdom, its majesty, and of its glory through the gospel and, of course, by the Holy Spirit. And once we see the kingdom, we will not let anything stand in our way as far as the kingdom is concerned. But literally, that's what Jesus is saying here. Push into it. Get our hands on it and refuse to let go. Don't allow anything at all, to get in the way of entering that kingdom. That's the kind of people we become. And it's in that connection that Jesus talks here about John the Baptist. And says that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus is talking there about what happened during the ministry of John. And especially when John pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there were those who, through the preaching of John, caught a glimpse of the kingdom. He saw something of what John was preaching. That was all the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, of course. But they saw that. And from that moment on, the only thing that mattered to them was the kingdom. Changed everything. And you have examples of that in connection with the ministry of John. The politics, the great cheats of that day,
made themselves wealthy at the expense of everyone else by robbing and cheating and lying and stealing, were all of a sudden asking John, what must we do to empty the kingdom? Some of them, maybe Zacchaeus was one of them. When John said to them, quit your cheating and stealing, so you never enter the kingdom of God. And that's what he did. And some of them, like Zacchaeus, not only quit that wretched business of cheating people, but gave back four times what they had stolen to those who had been cheating. And when the soldiers came and said to John, you've seen something of this kingdom that you're preaching. Seen something of the glorious king, the one who is called the Lamb of God. What do we have to do for to enter that kingdom? And Jesus and John said to them, you change your ways. Violence to no man, and you protect it to wages. And the result was that you had the Roman army, and like Cornelius, who were more interested in the kingdom of heaven than they were in the great accomplishments of the kingdom of Rome, and who were willing to make whatever sacrifices were required in order to enter that kingdom. Those are the violence whom Jesus talks about in verse 12. No matter what cause, they were going to have that kingdom. Their attitude very often was like the attitude that's expressed in so many forms. Rather be a doorkeeper. Just stand at the door and look in. Than dwell it in the tents of the wicked. That's bad. Or like that Syrophoenician woman whose daughter Jesus healed, who came and thanked Jesus to heal her daughter, to whom Jesus said, why? You're just talking to Gentiles. And said to Jesus, that's what it requires to enter the kingdom. And I'll be a dog. And lift up whatever crumbs there are under the table, because that's better than anything else. That's the kind of people Jesus is describing here. People who will let nothing stand in the way of entering the kingdom. You? Better not be. Did you know what Jesus says here? Verse 12. Why? Take the kingdom either by force. And they pray. And knowing the majesty and glory and the holiness of God, as they know it's necessary to enter the kingdom, they say, search me, O God, and try my heart to see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of life. Do whatever is necessary. You?
dare. Put your hand, yourself, in the hands of Almighty God and pray that prayer. Do whatever is necessary to me, Lord, that I may enter the kingdom of heaven. Because I've seen something, what it is, and nothing else matters anymore. They hear the gospel. And the gospel, they learn from the Word of God that the gospel is like a two-edged sword, that cuts, imagine a knife like that cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, as it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When the gospel is preached, they put themselves in the way of that sword of the gospel. And let it do whatever it will to them. For the sake of entering the kingdom. That's what the Word of God means when it describes every true citizen as the violent. And so the violence, that brings us to the third point of the sermon. The violence is that spiritual violence that's involved, first of all, in what the kingdom does to us. When it brings us to repentance for our sins, the violence. And from a spiritual point of view, that's real violence. It means that I hate my sins, even though I'm allowed to hate others. I hate myself for my sins. And not only hate them, but I spent my whole life warring against those sins. And find myself, for the kingdom's sake, willing to fight against those sins. Get down on my knees at the end of every day and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And help me, by thy grace, put all this stuff that I hate, put it all away, be done with it. It's the violence of conversion. Of having your whole life turned around and being willing to have it that way. It's the violence of self-denial. Of saying to yourself, no, for the sake of the kingdom, no. And sometimes that is a very practical matter too. For the sake of the kingdom, as it's represented in the whole cause of Christian education, no to what I want to purchase for myself, to what I want to do with my time. And yes, to all the sacrifices that are required in that cause. For the sake of the church, because of course, as Reverend Klein reminded us last week, the church is the kingdom of God here on earth. a kind of outpost of the kingdom here in the world. And when we look at the church as these violent people who Jesus is talking about, we see in the church, in spite of all its weaknesses and faults, the work of Christ, the King of this kingdom, we make sacrifices that are required to be a member of the church. Being not just a member, but the fruitful, profitable member of the church. Do violence to everything else. You know, if you think of it that way, it's quite a remarkable thing, and certainly the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about here, that you're here this evening. You and us. Where's everybody else? You know where they are. What are they doing? You know what they're doing. Those are the things. Now you and I, apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we have it. Aren't they? Alright. Yeah. Even though we still find the desire to do those things in ourselves sometimes, you know. And sometimes we have to say no very violently to ourselves. Force ourselves to do what the Word of God requires. Violence Jesus is talking about, the violence. Think of that word, sacrifice. You offer on an altar as a sacrifice what you want, what you would rather do, what you might spend your money on, what you might use your time for. And as violent an action the offering of an animal is, that's ever so much more violent spiritually. So the violence too of putting yourself, Lord's day after Lord's day, under the preaching of the gospel, even though that preaching has a way of getting into all the little corners of your life where it had, where you would rather not have it be. And you go home after the service preached, thinking to yourself, I'm glad no one else can see into those dark little corners of my life. But you go home thinking that because the gospel got into those corners. Reminds me of when my father took a call from Dune to the seminary, and they had the kind of farewell program. I was just a boy at the time. And I remember one of the elders, I think it was anyway, one of the elders, said to him, thank you for stepping on our toes in the preaching. And that, we never forgot that. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. The preaching was the Word of God's preaching. Steps on our toes. We say yes. Not out, but yes, for the sake of the kingdom. Because we learn the truth of what Jesus says, even though we may not understand the passage. The kingdom of heaven, the suffering, the violence, the requires that kind of violence. If ever we are to enter the kingdom, and of course, the great pattern for all of that is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We talked about that, that the kingdom is a kingdom built on blood. His whole ministry and all of his work since, so exalted Lord, has been by way of, maybe you'll say it that way, spreading the violence of the kingdom in us and among us and in the church and in our hearts, until finally by the violence of the kingdom we are with him where we belong. Put it another way. No, let me say this first. The violence is the violence of standing for the truth. No matter what. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks. It's the violence of insisting that things be done according to the Word of God. No matter the consequences. And so, to put it another way, the point of the passage is that the kingdom of heaven does not allow complacency. We don't sleep in a way spiritually into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't permit spiritual lazy. Kind of laziness that can't even find time to pick up the Word of God and speak to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Don't permit that. Doesn't permit you to be like those people who are described in verses 16 through 19. Where you find them in the market. They always are. Not interested in being anywhere else, even if they're in the church. Their hearts and their minds are in the marketplace. Never believe it. No interest whatsoever in the kingdom, and always critical of the citizens of the kingdom. Those violent citizens of the kingdom. Systems dated to the Word of God. Words that living according to the Word of God matters. And that's what preaching is. Beloved, the climate, even in our own churches, must not and may become the climate that Jesus describes in verses 16 and following. With those who are willing to be, in the sense of the text, violent citizens of the kingdom, sidelined as troublemakers. Criticized because they insist. Not always right. They insist that things have to be done in the church according to the Word of God. And that when the gospel is preached, it has to be preached in the church
with all of its violent sharpness.
Mustn't become the kind of people who, when the gospel is preached sharply,
or when we know that a minister is coming who preaches the gospel sharply, take ourselves off somewhere else.
Also be the kind of people who are more in the marketplace, at ease in the marketplace. Very little time for the kingdom. And all that belongs to the cause of the kingdom. It applies to ministers. Also be critical of those ministers who bring the Word of God in a way that hurts and troubles our consciences. And if God is gracious, brings us to our knees. Also be critical of the elders, for they insist on doing their work for the kingdom's sake, and come with rebukes and corrections to us. So be like those children in the marketplace. And no matter what their fellows did, you have a good word to say about them. Mustn't be critical of the deacons. And they insist that their responsibility is not only to help the poor and the needy, but to do so in obedience to the Word of God. And we don't put up with poor stewardship and wasting what are in fact the mercies of Christ. That will remind us of our responsibilities as far as what God gives us. Mustn't be critical of those members of the church who care about what's preached. And won't put up with anything else but what Paul calls the whole counsel of God. That's why this Word of God is important. Life is here for those, of course, to whom Jesus was speaking, but it's here for you and for me as well. Kingdom of heaven. Suffer violence. Violence. Take it. By force. Which mark is okay? The violence of the kingdom itself, the violence of God's grace, is regenerating and renewing grace. That's what you want, isn't it? And want more than anything else? And are willing to sacrifice for? Then you have the promise of the Word of God in verse 12, that the kingdom is and will be yours, yours too, when in its final revelation we see not just a glimpse of that kingdom, but all its glory and blessings. Coming of our blessed Redeemer. So be like those, that Syrophoenician woman, even the dogs lick up the crumbs under the master's table. And John himself was willing to be a ridiculous figure for the sake of the kingdom. Dressed in a scratchy old coat of camel's hair and eating grasshoppers for his food. Because Israel had to be reminded of that. This kingdom of which Jesus speaks is not like any other kingdom. It demands, requires everything of us and leaves us nothing of ourselves. Abide. And you? It can matter. The life of Jesus.